Let's stand together, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of this chapter. We'll just stand in respect to the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 8 says this: "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun," that was the father's name, "Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast," referring to the Mediterranean. Talking about the boundaries and what would be the promised land and what was going to be the land for Israel that God had set aside for them. It says in verse number 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Boy, and that's still true to this day. God is watching over and protecting that nation for a reason. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we study your word. Please help us to understand it. Help me to share it in a way that can help people. And please work in our hearts. Convince us of the truth. Convince us of the needs in our life and our need for you. Help us, I pray today, to seek to live lives where we'll be truly successful in your eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about having a blessed life. Having a blessed life. So many times we're seeking to live the good life. We want the nicer homes. We want the nicest cars. We want as much money as possible. We want a lot of things. But none of those things guarantee people true happiness and joy in their life. And none of those things guarantee people the blessings of God in their life. You know, a person can have a lot of things materially, physically, and have maybe a lot of wealth in this world, but that doesn't mean they have a blessed life of God. There can be people that have a lot of things, they've got a lot of toys, they've got a lot of money, but they don't have peace in their heart. They don't know where they're headed when they die. They don't have any certainty about, am I going to heaven or where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Will I end up in hell? I mean, what happens to me when I die? And they have no peace about that. They have no assurance about what happens in their life. And though they may have much on earth, they're missing something because they're very uncertain about the future. Again, sometimes people can have, you know, great wealth and great prosperity as in the world's eyes or on earth and so on. But yet, maybe live with a lot of strife in the home. Maybe live with a lot of conflict in the marriage. Maybe live with a lot of anger and frustration and disappointment. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what God wants for people's lives. God doesn't want us to have to live lives where we're anxious, where we live in depression, where we live with things in hiding, where we live with a home where there's strife and fighting and so on. I'm not sure if any of you have gone out. We've been passing out this summer some flyers into people's homes in some of our city about living the blessed life and comparing it to the good life. Let me tell you something. I stated very clearly in that little flyer, I want the blessed life. I want a home where there's joy and happiness. I want a marriage and a family where there's peace and where there's harmony and where people get along and where people know the blessing of God in their life. That's what I want. And I want for every one of you to know the blessed life. I want you to know the blessed life. There is something better than just the good life that the world pursues. There is something called the blessed life. And I think the world has even taken that sometimes and tried to sometimes almost hashtag that word blessed and stuff. But they don't really know what true blessing is all about unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. There's something more about the blessed life than, well, just I've got a pretty wife or I've got some money in the bank. No, the blessed life is a life where I'm walking with God and I know Jesus Christ and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm living with a life where I can pray and God can hear and answer my prayers. That's a truly blessed life. I want you to know the blessed life. I want you to notice some things there in verse number 8 that are really keys to having a blessed life. Some keys to having the blessed life. It says again in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talking about the word of God. For them, the book of the law, the books of Moses, to them at that point when Joshua was speaking, that was the whole Bible that they had at that point. That was all that God had given to them at that point. Of course, we know God gave us more through the Old Testament Jewish prophets and the New Testament writers, the apostles and those that God used to give us the Holy Scriptures that we have. But he was talking about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. And then he says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Spend time thinking on the Word of God day and night. Spend time thinking about it, reading it, and thinking about it in the morning and at night. Then he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. In other words, we should be doing what it says. We should be obeying what it says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not just be successful in the eyes of the world, but be a good success and live the blessed life. The blessed life. I think it's important that we spend time daily in the Word of God. I think we very clearly see that in that verse. Spend time in the Bible. Get yourself a Bible and spend time reading the Bible and thinking about the Scriptures. Go through the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and learn biblical truth and principles for how to live and how to guide your home and your family. Get in the Gospels and learn about the life of Jesus Christ and learn about what He did for you. Go through the New Testament and learn about what God wants for us as disciples of Christ and followers of Christ and how we can live and how we can honor and please God. How we can answer our prayers and how we can have a blessed life. We see the importance of daily spending time in the Word of God. We see the importance of obeying God's Word. It says that we must do all that is written therein. And we see the importance of being a good success versus just being successful. Joshua was somebody who wrote this, and Joshua was somebody who followed God's Word. And he became a good success in his life. He was a man blessed of God. Joshua follows God's Word and commands, and so because of that, he was blessed. In the city of Jericho, when God led the nation of Israel in and so on to the promised land, they had failed before. They had failed many years earlier, 40 years earlier. They did not go in. They did not obey God. But now Joshua was going to lead them into the promised land. And he had to follow God's instructions and follow every word that he said. Dave, you go in and make sure those heaters are unplugged there. The two that are plugged in the wall, just unplug them. God instructed Joshua what to do. And Joshua followed very carefully every word of instruction that God gave him. That's how God's people should follow God's Word as well. We should follow His Word completely. Follow His Word completely. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Turn with me if you still have your Bible open. Look over at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. God gave Joshua good success. God blessed Joshua's life. God allowed them to defeat the city of Jericho, one of the first cities as they would enter into Canaan land, enter into the promised land. Why did they defeat it? Because they obeyed God. They obeyed God. Notice the story in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Jericho was a walled city. There was great walls around this city of Jericho. It was a city that seemed like it's indomitable. It's a fortress. There's no way somebody's going to overtake it. There's no way somebody's going to be able to defeat Jericho. I mean, the walls were thick. The walls were tall. How is any enemy going to get into Jericho and be able to defeat the people there? Well, God gave Joshua a plan. And this plan seemed a little bit strange. We won't read through the whole story, but we see it here in Joshua chapter 6. God comes to Joshua and says, okay, I've got a plan. Here's how you're going to defeat Jericho. Notice verse number 3. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Here's your plan, Joshua. It's not that you're going to get some special catapults. It's not that you're going to get some special weapons. No, here's what you're going to do, Joshua. You're going to march around the city of Jericho today, one time. You're going to take all the men of your army. You're going to take all the men of Israel, and you're just going to march around the wall of the city. Do that. Okay, God. That sounds like a plan. Okay, God. And Joshua obeyed. To me, that wouldn't make sense. To me, that would seem hard to do. How can I just do that? They're going to be up there on the walls laughing at us. They're going to be up there on the walls making fun of us. But Joshua obeyed God. They would march around the city one time each day for 6 days. Then it says in verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Okay, Joshua, here's what you're going to do on day number 7. You're going to march around Jericho this time, but instead of just doing it once, you're going to do it 7 times. The first 6 times, you're going to march quietly. You're not going to say a thing. But on the 7th time of marching around Jericho, you're going to get some. They're going to be out front and they're going to blow their trumpets. And the people, I want them to begin shouting. I want them to begin praising me. And I'm going to bring the walls down. That would maybe seem, well, that's hard to believe. That's hard to accept. But that's what God told Joshua to do. That's how God was going to defeat Jericho. That's how God was going to give the nation of Israel victory over their enemy and allow them to begin to conquer in the promised land. And Joshua obeyed God's instructions implicitly. He did what God asked him to do. He did what God told them to do. And God brought the walls down. He said, I don't believe it. Well, you better believe it's the Word of God. It's true. Well, I wasn't there. Well, I got to go to Israel, and I don't see the wall standing very well anymore. Maybe some foundations of those walls they've dug up and uncovered, but the walls of Jericho, they did come down, just like the Bible says. And God brought the walls down, and God allowed them to go in and conquer that city of Jericho. Notice something over in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. We see again in the conquest of the city of Ai, that it was going to be important for Joshua to obey God's word and follow his commands, and that God would help him to be successful. God would help him to be successful. Joshua chapter 8, and notice beginning in verse number 1, says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people, and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof ye shall take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it unto your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded thee. Notice he said, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. Then notice down in verse 25. And so it was that all that fell that day, both the men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed the inhabitants of Ai, Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. Notice that Joshua was always very careful to do exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. Now I understand, we're not in a day, we don't live in a day and age where we're having to conquer that kind of an enemy. We're not the nation of Israel that we're trying to go into the promised land and what God had said to Abraham long ago, I'm going to give you a land for an inheritance. I'm going to make you blessed of all the nations. I'm going to give you a place, a land that's just your own. And that nation is going to be yours and I'm going to protect you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to multiply your seed. Boy, there was very unique things there that God had for the nation of Israel and for the Jewish people. But listen, in the very same way, God wants to bless every one of our lives. God wants to bless us and God wants to use us and God wants us to be successful in our marriages. And God wants us to be successful in parenting and in training up our children and in rearing good kids. God wants us to be successful in our life and successful as a Christian. Successful in living the kind of life that honors Him and pleases Him, and a life that brings His blessings. And that blessing will come if we'll learn to follow Him. Listen, God's way has always been the best way. God's way has always been the blessed way. Listen, is a Christian family's life going to be perfect? No. Will they be perfect? No. Will they sin sometimes? Yes. But let me tell you something. The life of a born-again Christian who will follow Jesus Christ and follow the Word of God, they will know the blessings of God in their life and know peace and know joy and know happiness and have a better family and a better life than those who do not. Those who don't want to follow Christ. Those who don't want to follow the Word of God. Their life will be so much better. Notice what Joshua continues to do even after a great victory. Joshua chapter 8 and on to verse number 30. Joshua chapter 8 and verse number 30. He says there, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and all their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the Ark of the Covenant, on the side which the priests and the Levites which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger, as he that was born among them. Half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded them, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversing among them. You think, boy, sitting in church sometimes with Pastor Johnson, boy, he reads so many scriptures and I got to sit and listen to all that. Well, actually, for them, Joshua got up and he read the whole book of Moses. He read to them the whole book of Moses. He read to them all the law of Moses, all the law that God, and all the careful instructions for the Jewish people. He read it all to them. And the men, the women, the children, they were all there listening to that. Why? Why was it so important, though? It was important because Joshua was saying, listen, if we want to keep the blessings of God, if we want to maintain and have the blessings of God in our life, then we need to be careful to make sure we know that this is what the Word of God is. This is what God wants us to do. And if we do it, we'll have God's blessing. And if we don't, God's blessing will be withheld. We'll actually instead maybe have His cursing or His judgment upon our life. Joshua gathers all the people together. He reads them all the words of God because he wanted to make sure they would obey the Word of God. He wanted to make sure they would obey God because there's blessing that comes. There's blessing that comes. There's success that comes when we obey God's Word. There's judgment that comes when we refuse to follow the Word of God. Which do you want? You know, it says in the book of Deuteronomy about how I've set before you both blessing and cursing. I've set before you a choice. Do you want the blessing of God in your life? Do you want a blessed life? Then it comes by choosing to say, I want to follow Him. I want to obey God's Word. Joshua obeyed the Word of God. Bible tells us a story about another man, King Saul, that did not completely obey God's word. And as a result of it, he lost God's blessing. We read that story this morning in our Sunday school class, in our Bible class. We read the story about King Saul. King Saul was told very clearly what he was supposed to do. God had made King Saul the king when he, as a young man, was humble. But he began to be somebody who was lifted up in pride, and it became less important to him to follow God than when he was younger. Less important to him to heed God's commands, because now he was a little bit more full of himself, maybe a little bit more proud, and he no longer followed God like he should have. And in his pride, he ended up disobeying God. In his pride, he ended up not following God's instructions for going into Amalek and defeating the Amalekites. And because he disobeyed God, God sent Samuel, the prophet of God, to come to him and say, "Saul, God's going to remove you from the throne. God's going to remove you from the kingdom. When you were humble, when you were willing to obey God, you had the blessing of God all over you. You had the throne. But now it's going to all be removed from you. Now it's all going to be taken away." Why was that? It's because Saul did not obey God's word. And he lost the blessing of God on his life. You know, Saul's greatest responsibility as king was just simply to obey God. That was his greatest responsibility. His greatest responsibility as king wasn't, "Well, I need to be the most dynamic leader the world has ever known." No. God had set up Saul to be the king over the nation of Israel. "Your job, Saul, is just to represent me. Your job, God wanted it to be a theocracy. A theocracy that God would lead the nation of Israel. God would lead his people, and Saul would help to represent him." But Saul didn't want to obey God. Saul didn't want to obey God. As a result, he lost the blessings of God in his life because he would not fully obey God. Turn with me back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Notice it again. Listen, the key to the blessed life is going to be obeying God. One of the keys to the blessed life is going to be obeying God's word completely. It says there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Not just a prospering of finances or a prospering of health, but a prospering of spirits, of spirit and of spiritually speaking. He says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Do you want to have a life that's blessed of God? Would you like to have a home that's blessed of God? Would you like to have a marriage that's blessed of God? Would you like to have a business that's blessed of God? Would you like to have a family that's blessed of God? You want the blessings of God in your life. It's going to come from following Christ. It's going to come from saying, "I want to follow Him, and I'm willing to follow His Word. I'm willing to follow God's Word in my life." We see in that verse how clear it is, how important it is that we daily spend time in the Word of God. You know what will happen for you? You'll start to take time every morning to open up your Bible. Spend some time reading the Bible. Spend a little time reading the Word of God. If you don't know where to read, ask somebody for help. Where should I read, and where should I start, and what should I do? But get in the Word of God and let it saturate your heart and let it saturate your mind and let it influence your thinking. Hey, the way to have a blessed life, not more than just a good life, a blessed life of God, it starts with spending time in the Word of God. Spend time meditating in the Word of God. Meditation's a pretty big thing nowadays, and yoga and this and that. So the best thing you could ever meditate on would be the Word of God. Spend time in the Bible and read it and carefully think about it and what it says and apply it to your heart and apply it to your life. And how can I please God? And how can my family honor God? And how can I raise my family? And how should I conduct my finances? And how should I lead my business? And how can I be a good husband? Or how can I be a good wife? Or how can I be a good parent? Or how can I help my kids to turn out right in a crazy world? Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God, and it can help you to have the blessed life. Not only spend time in it daily, but make sure that you obey it. Make sure you obey it. The importance of doing what God says. It talks in that verse a couple times, those verses of that thou mayest observe to do. To do. You know, we can know what it says, but if we don't do what it says, it doesn't help us much, right? The Bible talks in the book of James about not just being hearers of the Word of God, but also being doers of the Word of God. We must be doers of God's Word. We must be obeyers. We must obey what God's Word tells us to do. Because if He gives me a truth and He gives me a principle that to live by, He gives me a principle that will help me to rear up my children. He gives me a principle that will teach me how to handle my money. He gives me a principle that teaches me how to have a better marriage. If He gives me a principle that will teach me how I can be more successful in my Christian life, I need to follow that. I need to follow that. I need to do what God's Word tells me to do. If you want the blessed life, listen, spend time daily in the Word of God. Meditate in it, think on it, apply it to your life. Secondly, do what it says. Obey the Word of God in your life. And thirdly, let me say this, obey it completely. Obey it completely. It talks in those verses about observing to do according to all the law. According to all that is written therein. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left. Don't veer from it a little bit. Don't veer from it anyway. Don't say, well, I'll kind of follow the path as much as I want, but I don't think I like that part, and so I'll just kind of go my own way a little bit here. No, don't veer off. If God says this is the pathway for a blessed life, and this is how you ought to live, and this is how to be a good success in life, don't veer from that path. Learn to say, okay, I'll do what you say, God. I'll follow the Bible in my life. I'll follow your Word. I'll follow Jesus Christ in my life. And if you obey completely, let me tell you, you will have a blessed life. A blessed life. Notice a fourth thought, the importance of being a good success versus just being successful. And what I'm talking about is really this comparison between the good life and the blessed life. The world looks at people and looks at something and thinks, wow, look at how successful they are. Because somebody is so famous, or because somebody has maybe a real nice title on their office door. You know, they're the president and CEO of such and such, or you know, they're one of the owners of some big company or this or that. Or look what they've got, or look what they have, or look at how well known they are, or whatever. Wow, look at how successful they are. Really? Really? That doesn't guarantee you a success. That may make you successful in the eyes of the world. That may make you successful in the eyes of man. That may make you prominent. But that's no guarantee that you have the blessings of God on your life. That's no guarantee that that person can pray and God hears and answers their prayer. That's no guarantee that that person, when they go home after work, that they've got a happy home. There's no guarantee that they've got a blessed life. There's no guarantee that they've got children who actually love them and respect them and obey them. Boy, we live in a world where there's a lot of strife in homes, and there's a lot of discontentment, and there's a lot of anger and arguing that takes place and so on. Listen, I want the life that is blessed of God. And I thank God that I feel like I have it in many, many ways. Are my children perfect? No. Do they disappoint me sometimes? No. But I know that I've got 7 children who love me and respect me, and they try to honor me and they try to please me. We don't live a life of fighting and strife and anger. I've got a wife who loves me and respects me as her husband and looks up to me and supports me and encourages me and helps me. I've got God's blessing on my life. I've got God's blessing on my finances. I've got God's blessing in my home and in my marriage and my children. And there's still time for me to mess up as a parent. And they're not grown up, and I can't claim to be somebody. But I believe that God has been looking over my home and blessing my family and helping them to have a good heart and helping them to do the things that they ought. Why? Because I'm choosing to follow Him. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm choosing to try to follow God's Word and to spend time daily meditating in God's Word. I'm trying to obey God's Word in my life. I'm trying to obey it completely, best I can. Why? Because I want the blessed life. I want the blessed life. My kids, you know, they joke with me sometimes and they say, I think for my 50th wedding anniversary, right? 50th wedding anniversary, they talk about, that's a long time off, that they'll buy me a whatever car I wanted. And so I saw a Maserati one time and thought, okay, that's what you guys can get me. Maserati. I told them the other day, I was looking for something else, but on Kijiji, of all places, I saw a used Maserati for $90,000. They said, oh, maybe not that. But no, you know what? I really couldn't care less about a Maserati. I can look and I can see nice cars and, you know, everybody can like a nice car, this or that. But you know what? I don't need a bigger mansion than the home I already got. Well, I got a beautiful home. And I don't need to keep striving for a bigger one. I've said this in our church before. Many, many years ago, I knew a family that they so much wanted to give their children everything they possibly could. They wanted to give their children the good life. And they were working so hard for it. And the lady, she went to work and she worked all day. You know, commuting to work and worked all day and worked long hours. And the husband, he worked a night shift. Long, long hours. Why? Because they wanted to give their family a bigger house. They wanted to give their family more things. They wanted to be able to do more things, you know, financially for their children and help their children and so on. And they worked and they worked. They wanted the good life. That marriage didn't last very long. And it was all blown apart. Why? Because when we just get to living for things or living for money or living for, you know, here's what we're going to do for them. We want to do this. And we're neglecting God or not living for God or not following His Word. Sometimes those misplaced priorities, sometimes those things, listen, it can just lead to a life of neglect and where a relationship begins to crumble and fall apart and homes fall apart. I want more than a good life. I want a blessed life. I want a blessed life. So I try to honor God. Spending time meditating in the Word of God can help you to have a blessed life. Obeying the Word of God can help you to have a blessed life. Trying to honor and obey the Lord and the things He tells us to do can bring a blessed life. Bringing my family to Sunday school and bringing them to church faithfully can help me to know what the blessed life is all about. Being concerned with the world and foreign missions and reaching the world for Christ and not just worrying about what I can have for myself, laying up treasures in heaven instead of just laying up treasures in earth. Hey, that's all important to me. Why? Because I want a life that's blessed of God. Not just a good life for here and now. I want the blessed life. Will you commit yourself to daily spending time in the Word of God, meditating on it? Spend time thinking about it and applying it to your heart and life. Make sure you decide to obey the Word of God. Don't just learn what it says, but do what it says. And don't just do part of what it says, do all that it says. Obey it completely. And determine that, you know what? I want more than just a good life. I want a blessed life. I want to be more than just successful in the eyes of the world. I want to be a good success in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. That's the priority that matters. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all got to begin with knowing Him. It's all got to begin with getting to know Him. You know, God loves us so much. He loves you and He loves me. God created every one of us. There's no person that's unimportant to God. Every one of us is special and unique and He loves us. But we've all sinned against God. None of us are perfect. I'm far from perfect. I've sinned many times before I trusted Christ for salvation and since I trusted Christ. I'm a sinner. The only reason I can stand here today and with complete assurance say I know for sure that heaven's my home. I know that I have eternal life. I know without any doubt that I'm going to heaven one day. It's because of the decision I made many years ago. When I decided to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Many times I'd had people share with me what we call the gospel. The fact that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross and was buried and rose again to pay for our sins. They shared with me the gospel story. They shared with me the good news that I could be forgiven. I could have salvation. I could have peace with God. But what I had to do was put my faith and trust in Jesus. Romans 5:1 teaches us that we can have peace with God, that we're justified with God when we put our faith in Jesus. You know, there's nothing I can do to earn my way to heaven or work my way to heaven. I'm not going to get to heaven by sending money to help some poor people or walking old ladies across the street or trying to be better than everybody on my street. You know, I'm not going to get to heaven by the works that I do or the things that I do. I can only get to heaven if I come to a God acknowledging I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And I need Jesus Christ in my life. And I chose to make that decision many years ago, understanding that I was lost and guilty as a sinner. Understanding that because of sin, I would be separated from God for all eternity. The truth is, God never made hell or the lake of fire for us. The Bible teaches He really made it to be the final punishment for Satan, for the devil. But God will punish sin. But He doesn't want us to be punished. He wants us to be saved. What we have to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus. God doesn't want anybody. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in the book of 1 Peter. He wants us to come to Christ and be saved. He wants you to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Trust Him. Receive the gift of salvation that He's trying to offer you. And you can know 100% for sure that you have eternal life. You know, the blessed life is really going to begin with first, you need to make a decision to trust Jesus Christ. It's not going to be a religion that gets you to heaven. It's going to be Jesus that can take you to heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you'll put your faith and trust in Him, your sins can be forgiven. And you can have eternal life. I haven't shared that with you in great detail, but I hope you understand it. And if you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, that's a decision that you can make. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible teaches us. You know, it doesn't matter who we are, or what our background is, or where we came from, or anything. It doesn't matter our ethnicity. It doesn't matter what our culture was, what our religious background was, what we have, what we don't have, how educated we are. None of that matters. What matters is that we just come to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and put our faith in Him. Believe on Him. It's got to be a heart decision. I can tell you the truth, and you can have up here a head knowledge. Oh, yes, I understand those things, and I believe those things. But with your heart, you must choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit your sinfulness, like I had to do. And trust Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him, and God will forgive you of your sins. Be the greatest decision you could ever make. And that can begin the journey of living a blessed life. Hey, what a blessed life to know that you're on your way to heaven one day. Know that heaven's your home for all eternity, and that you're saved and you're forgiven of all your sins. The sins of your past, no matter what you've done, forgiven, washed away, I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm His child. Boy, the blessed life is going to start with receiving Christ as your Savior. And it continues with you making that decision. I want to obey God. And I want to obey God's Word. I want to spend time in God's Word, learn what it says, apply it to my life, obey it completely. I want to be a good success, not just a success. I want the blessed life, not just the good life. These are decisions you need to make.